Hello and welcome to episode 19 of Peds' Game Shack. Today I have a returning guest, Kerr9000. How are you doing, dude?
I'm alright, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, considering having the wisdom tooth removed on the other side of my mouth. Yeah, I'm a bit of pain actually, but you know, alright otherwise. Goddamn dentists. Ruining my face. So what have you been up to recently, dude? Anything fun? Because like, obviously we talk about games and stuff, but have you been doing anything fun? Because I know you, but for those who are unfamiliar with Curry, you do like reviews on films and things. So you've been watching anything good recently?
The last really good thing, in my opinion, I went and saw was Evil Dead Rise in the cinema. Absolutely.
I want to see that. I really want to see. I'm a big fan of Evil Dead series. As in the films and Ash vs. Evil Dead, the shows. The one thing I'm unsure on is does it carry on from the original continuity or is it or from the rebooted continuity? Or
really,
doesn't it really
all
say?
All that there is the book.
Right.
It's all about the Necronomicon Ex Mortis or... There's multiple books of the dead, but it's one of the books of the dead is found. And that's it. There's no Ash. And really, it's a very serious horror film. It's not goofy like some of the Evil Dead films.
Yeah, the first one was a bit more serious. And then after that, they kind of just thought, eh.
Yeah, this is more like the first one, but with...
A
bigger budget, and, yeah.
Like the very first one in the 80s was like a more serious film, but very, very low budget. So
yeah,
and then obviously the second one. That's the thing I don't get with the Evil Dead series. Like the first one and the second one could be the same film. It's like why would Ash go to a cabin in the woods? All that shit happened to him, and then decide let's go to the same place or place that's more or less exactly the same. And it's like, is the second one a reboot really, or it's retelling? I don't know what's going on there thing.
Basically it's all rights issues. They didn't have the rights to the first film when they made the second one, so they couldn't do a recap, so they sort of did the first 20 minutes of the film as a refilmed recap of the first one.
Right.
So there's a weird way in which if you watch all of Evil Dead 1 and then cut about 20 minutes off the front of 2, watch 2 from then on, and then cut the last 10 minutes off 2 and stick 3 on, it makes one big long film that doesn't contradict itself.
Right. That's
but
fair.
It's all they didn't hold on to the right rights, and this one was made by these people, and then that was made by them. And
I genuinely did not know that. So, have you done a review for Rise?
Yeah, I made a quick review for it on YouTube. But it's a good film to, you know, spoil the review as such. But it's serious. If you want a serious horror film, you'll enjoy it. If you want the slapsticky fun, then it's probably not the film for you.
So basically, watch it anyway. Whether you want the slapstick fun or not, just watch it.
Yeah.
Right, so moving on to the podcast itself. For those who are unfamiliar with the podcast, because any time could be a person's first time, you know? We have three segments of the podcast. The first is currently playing, where me and Kerr will discuss what we have been playing recently. Though a lot of the time I don't talk about what I've been playing because there's plenty of stuff from the guest. So that's fine. Sometimes we do news. Top news, we call our segment, where we talk about some big news in the game industry. That's if I've A, been asked to look, or B, thought something that I have an interest in. Like, there could be some things that come up and I'm like, I haven't really got much of an opinion on that, so I don't really mention it. And then we have the final segment called We Play Together, which we will be discussing the game that we have picked to play for the episode, which we both played not literally together, but together, so to speak. So, without further ado, let's move on to currently playing, and I would like to ask you, Kerr, what are you currently playing?
I've been in one of them situations where I've been bouncing between a few things. I've been playing Fire Emblem Engage because I really like it, but I've not wanted to finish it, so I keep making a conscious effort to, like, do a stage and then put it down and leave it. Which probably sounds weird, but I don't want to finish that game quickly. I want to slowly go through it over time.
I'll be honest, it does sound particularly strange. It's like, yeah, I'll do one now. I can kind of get the mentality of, like, taking your time, but to make sure you only do one level at a time and then, like, no, I'm not touching it now. Seems a bit like, I don't know, a bit strange, but at the same time, I can understand why people want to do when you're putting some time into it. You could think about things that have happened. How are you enjoying Engage?
I really like it. As far as I've seen so far, there's no romances in it like there was in earlier Fire Emblems and stuff. So the between stage bits isn't quite as good, but the actual strategy stage part is very enjoyable.
Well, that's realistically what most people want. I'd say most people, because not everyone, but most people do. How do you play the game? Because I know they've, like, since Awakening, I think, maybe, they've done, like, a mode where your character doesn't die, they just get injured for a little bit, and then they can come back. Or do you play away, if a character dies, they're permanently dead? Or do you do what I do when playing Fire Emblem games? A character dies, you then restart, because you want to keep everyone alive, so it's kind of pointless having the normal mode, because, you know, you restart all the time. Taking 20 days to get through one level.
particularly if somebody who I've sort of made a bond with, who I've decided I like that character, dies, then that game is getting reloaded.
Yeah.
There are some lesser characters who you go, oh, well, I didn't really like him anyway. That's all right. I'll find somebody else that can do what he does. But if it's somebody I really like, then, yeah, that's getting restarted.
Yes, that's understandable. Has it still got the whole thing where certain characters are needed on certain maps to get other characters, or is that gone with the wind?
I've only noticed that on one stage so far.
All right.
I mean, maybe I've missed that. Maybe there was people I could hire that I haven't, but to my knowing at the stages I've done so far, it's only been a thing once, where I know in some of the earlier games it was, like, every three stages there was somebody, if you talked to them right, you could get them with the right person.
Yeah. How many of the Fire Emblem games have you played then, and how does this compare to the ones you've played previously?
I think I've basically played all of them. The only ones I'm not that keen on are the ones that are the, like Hyrule Warriors.
Fire Emblem Warriors, I think it's called, isn't it? Dynasty Warriors style kind of game. I can't remember. It's called all of a sudden.
Yeah, Dynasty Warrior ones. I've not really bothered with them. They're not quite my thing. I've bounced on them and off, but the real Fire Emblem games I love, and it was weird because it all started with me getting the first English Game Boy Advance one off a car boot, boxed complete for a fiver.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't even know what it was because the internet wasn't so big back then. I saw basically a guy got a whole desk full of games, and most of them were loose carts, and that one was boxed, and all of them, whether they were boxed or loose carts, were £5. And my initial thought was, fiver complete, if I don't like this, it's got to be worth more in trade.
Yeah.
Whereas the carts, you're like, well, I'll probably get my money back at best. And then as soon as I played it, I was like, wow, this is really like Vandal Hearts on the PlayStation 1. And I really like Vandal Hearts. I guess Nintendo have ripped off Konami. And then,
When was the first of the other ones? Because I know the original Fire Emblem was on the NES.
Yeah, there was the NES ones and SNES ones. It's just that they didn't come to England until the first Game Boy Advance one.
Yeah, it came way late, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I've played a lot of the NES and SNES ones and that on translated ROMs and things.
Yeah.
But obviously not till after way playing later, the Game Boy one, yeah.
I really can't remember the type of games the Warriors are.
there's a weird name for it, innit? It's like a one-person soldier rush against an army kind of job. But yeah, there is a term for it.
Yeah, for some reason I can't think of it, but never mind. I'll let you get back to what you're saying. Sorry.
That's all right. My two favourite Fire Emblem games of all time are the GameCube one and Awakening.
I loved Awakening and the GameCube. What's Path of Radiance? Or Radiant Dawn? Path of Radiance.
Path of Radiance, because Radiant Dawn's the Wii.
It's the Wii, is it? I get that mixed up. I never got the Wii one. I'm gutted because it's so expensive to get now.
About £90 secondhand, isn't it? So
yeah.
I got it from Tesco's on day of release for £35. Because it was back in those days when Tesco's was like trying to undercut absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, I remember that. And with the 360 games quite cheap from Tesco. Musou Games, I think it is.
That sounds right.
Playing on my mind hours. Oh, I'm a terrible person. Awakening is the only Fire Emblem game I have finished because I really enjoy the Fire Emblem games, but where I refuse to let a character die and I have to restart a level over and over. It gets to the point where I just stop playing it because I probably played the same one level about 50 times and I've just given up because I refuse to let anyone die, which is stupid because part of the game is people die, you carry on without them, but you know, I just can't do it, man.
Awakening's actually dead interesting in that there's a mod for it called Fire Emblem Gay Awakening, which actually lets the characters have gay relationships and lesbian relationships.
All right.
Because a lot of people apparently had issue with the fact that Nintendo have never gone down that route, so somebody made a whole mod. And my daughter wanted to play it, so I had to jump through all kinds of hoops to find it and apply it and...
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I've never really thought about that with Nintendo, actually. I don't think there is any representation in the games. To be like most of the games, I don't really think there's much of relationships in any way, shape, or form. And most story side stuff is kind of pushed to the side for gameplay elements more than story.
Yeah.
But when it does come to that kind of thing, I can't think of anything of like LGBTQ plus kind of characters in Nintendo franchises, which is crazy.
The only thing I can think of is Birdo. Birdo, because Birdo is trans.
Yeah.
And that's about as... But I mean, I'm not sure how that came about entirely. And whether it's not basically through errors in manuals and things saying they're male and then female. And
I think in the Japanese version of the game, it's like Doki Doki Panic, I think. Maybe. Like it was originally Birdo was male, but is female kind of thing. But like in the US, it was just like, yeah, Birdo's a woman.
In
Super Mario Bros. 2, but don't quote me on that because, you know, my memory is awful. And also, you know, this game was from, like, when I was a young child.
I'm pretty sure that Captain Rainbow game goes over it in more detail, but
it only came out in Japan.
No, it only came out in Japan, and there's translations of it, but I could never get a patch translation because I'd have loved to have played that. Because it's supposed
very
to be
strange, isn't it? Very weird. Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be a weird game, and it has like background on different Nintendo characters. So I think it'll be interesting, but maybe someone will hear this and sort us out with a patched ROM or something.
Maybe. So other than Fire Emblem, where else have you been playing it?
I've played a bit of Advance Wars.
Oh, the Reboot Camp. Is it called Reboot Camp?
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, it's only 20 months late, so... I was starting to worry it had never come out.
Yeah. I totally get that. I get why it was delayed while with Russia invading Ukraine and the army being basically invading the country that's invading is basically like a fictitious version of Russia.
Yeah.
So it's kind of understandable why they were like, yeah, I think we should delay this. But yeah, I really like Advance Wars, and I think it's going to be hard to see where they go with Advance Wars now, because it's like, if they were thinking about sales-wise of, like, if this does really well, we can maybe bring back the franchise properly. But with it being delayed for 20 months, I didn't realize it was that long. Is that going to have a massive effect on the sales? And therefore, are they going to take into consideration that? Or is it just, didn't do as well as we'd have hoped?
I know digitally it was about 8th in the chart, but I'm not sure how it's done physically.
Yeah.
But it depends, doesn't it, whether they blame the delay or whether they just see any lack of sales as lack of sales. How deep they think about it, really.
So I know a lot of people prefer Advance Wars to Fire Emblem, because I think it's the same company, isn't it? Making both, but obviously they've been on doing Fire Emblem games for they haven't done a Advance Wars since the DS until now.
There was two on DS, weren't there? I mean, that's another option. They could do an Advance Wars reboot at 2 and do the 2DS games as a compilation.
They should do a NES and SNES Wars as well. Oh, well, Famicom and Super Famicom Wars reboot as well.
Yeah, yeah. And there was Battalion Wars on the Wii, I think.
Yeah. And Battalion Wars 2, but I think that was Wii U, wasn't it? Is that Wii U?
I'm not sure. Was Battalion Wars...
Was Battalion Wars on the GameCube and Battalion Wars Wii was the sequel?
That's it. That's it. GameCube and Wii, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Advance Wars is... the first time I played Advance Wars was on the GBA. And I remember really liking it. But again, it's a game I never finished because I'm awful for finishing games, especially back when I was younger. I think when I played that, I was probably like a teenager. And then I was just awful for finishing games because it'd be like, oh, right, a new game's coming out. I want to play the new game. And that's what I've always been like, unfortunately.
I think as well, when you do the sort of online reviews and podcasts and things, you're very aware that things are always changing and there's always releases, and you'll try and play as much as possible so that you can review things and talk about things. And sometimes that does lead to you leaving stuff, even if you're enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't disagree with you there, man. So how far have you gone into Advance Wars?
About 10 missions into that. I got it the day of release, but I've been watching a lot of films, and I've been rewatching House MD.
Oh, House, yeah. I was thinking of House MD. I was thinking it was some sort of like DJ or something, but that's an MC. House MD is in the
Hugh
doctor.
Laurie.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie. Yeah, I really liked House. I didn't watch it, and like when it came out, I watched it way, way, way later. Only a couple of years back, and I watched it back every episode back to back practically, and ended up really, really liking it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a great show. It did make me think whether there's ever been a House game, and I do think there was one on the DS. I'm not entirely sure, but because there was sort of a medical. There was Trauma Center 1 and 2 on the DS that were quite popular. And then I know there was like a few budgety Trauma Center rip-offs.
Yeah.
But something keeps telling me there's a House one, so...
Well, I didn't
I'll
know.
I'll have to look that up.
That would be pretty funny. Possible.
Might just be wishful thinking.
Could be. House is good. It would be very different though, because like house, like trauma center is all about surgery and that kind of thing, whereas House, the show obviously, is about diagnosing ray conditions, and mysterious illnesses, that kind of thing.
I think it'd be more puzzly, latent-y sort of fight. Be looking for clue type things to work stuff out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you play Advance Wars back when it came out on the GBA then?
Yeah, I had one and two on the GBA. And I played them both. And I played Dual Strike on the DS. And then I got the second DS one, the name of which I think might be Deadly Something, a lot later, and I never played that one. So that's the one I probably should dig out the drawer and have a look at.
Did you finish the original game? Are you enjoying going back to it with the rebooted series, or reboot camp is called it, so the remake?
And I remember enjoying it when I played it back in the day, and I know I'm enjoying this one now, but the only thing is, lots of people are talking about the differences between them. I actually think I left it alone so long I couldn't tell you the difference.
I didn't know there was any differences apart from a visual thing.
I think it is mostly the visuals, but I'm just really not sure, because it's actually a game that I've left alone long enough that I completely didn't remember it.
Yeah.
Other than, the vague hint of what it is. Whereas there are some games that I have sort of picked up again and again and again. Like, Mario Bros. 3, I've played that every other year. So if they re-released that, I'd be able to point out, everywhere where something's changed.
Makes sense. Yeah, and Super Mario Bros. 3 is better than Super Mario Bros. World.
Oh, I don't know. I've got a soft spot for World. But...
Yeah, same here, but Super Mario Bros. 3, man. I just, better than World. Definitely.
I know I'd take 3 or World, or even 1 or 2 over 64, which I think is probably a rare viewpoint, because lots of people seem to love 64, and it's a decent game, but I don't have that nostalgia for it.
Yeah, when I think I've said on the podcast before, to people before, when I originally played Super Mario 64 back on the N64, I was like, this is okay, I guess. it wasn't until I played the DS version that I actually finished the game, and I seemed to enjoy it more there. For some reason, I just didn't get that into 64. I much preferred Galaxy.
Oh, I did. I really preferred Galaxy. I liked Sunshine as well, but Sunshine was weird because I brought that at release.
Yeah.
Fell off it, didn't bother with it. And I had some kind of stomach bug or something like 6 months later and picked it up because I'd got nothing else. I'd finished everything else, couldn't leave the house to get out. And I couldn't put it down. And bombed through the whole thing and loved it. So it was like a slow burn. I just didn't gel with it at first, but I really like it now. It eventually grew on me.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And
that's cool.
Put that one above 64 now.
Yeah, I think I would put 64 above Sunshine personally, but I'm not a massive fan of either. Whereas Galaxy and Galaxy 2 and Odyssey, I would rate miles above them personally. And Super Mario Brothers 3 as well. Loved Super Mario Brothers 3. Is there anything else you've been playing on top of Advance Wars and Fire Emblem?
Just the usual little bits of stuff, like a little bit of Fortnite, but I think I've played the least of this season of any sort of recent season of it. Maybe I'm falling off it a bit, but I've just been busy with other things.
Yeah, probably it. I haven't played it that much, but I've been so busy. I haven't had a chance to do bloody more or less anything when it comes to games. Like, I did start doing stuff again, and then Things came up with like kids with the school and stuff like that, and then doctors and hospitals, and then I had to have teeth out, and it's like, ugh, give me a break.
Nah, there's always something that comes up to get in the way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, we'll talk some top news. Yeah, okay, cool. So, as I said, we can move on to top news. And actually, before we do, is there any other games you've been playing? Just to make sure, there's nothing else you want to talk about?
Yeah, not that I can think of.
Okay. So, top news. The biggest news thing I can think of right now is Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard King.
Yeah.
For approximately $70 billion US dollars, which I think is about 50-something or 60-something million Great British pounds.
That's a heck of a lot of money.
It is, yeah. But the UK Board of Fee Stuff...
Competition and Marketing Authority, yeah. I think it is.
CMA, they called.
Yeah.
That's the actual... Just the abbreviation, the CMA. Whereas, obviously, competition, whatever you just said, is the full title.
Yeah.
But, yeah, basically, they have blocked the deal in the UK. I don't know if that will mean, if everywhere else allows it, if that means, like, Microsoft stuff won't be sold in the UK if they decide to go through, or if that's if, because obviously you're going to challenge it, Microsoft or may do. So if that was the case, and what would exactly happen? Would they be able to go ahead worldwide, just be like, yeah, the UK's fucked?
They'd have to majorly restructure stuff and basically either not operate here or operate in a different way.
Yeah.
I think if they can't get it overturned, it will probably be sort of the end of it.
I don't think it'll go through when you've got like one of the biggest markets opposing it. I think maybe they'll maybe just use the money in other ways. They could still use that $70 billion on Microsoft on Blizzard stuff.
Yeah.
On Activision Blizzard stuff, just instead of doing the whole we'll buy the company, just do what Sony do and just pay for the exclusives.
Yeah,
and
that's one.
And still getting them, man.
Yeah, that's one possible way of doing things.
Hmm.
Or the other is offer to buy part of the company by, you know, one or two sides of it, because obviously, you know, it's Activision Blizzard King.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could offer to buy a chunk of it. Yeah. Or they could take the money and buy other companies. I mean, I do think there's probably other companies they could get cheaper that potentially have more worth to them in some ways.
Like, a lot of people are saying that it's bullshit. Like, the reasoning, like, the cloud gaming side has been blocked.
But well, a lot of it's to do with cloud gaming, isn't it? Problems have come.
So I don't know if that was just a daft reason or not. I personally don't know.
I mean, that's the thing that this authority's had the problem with, but weirdly, that doesn't seem to be what Sony was complaining about. Sony was complaining about Call of Duty, really.
Yeah.
And it's a weird situation, because Call of Duty is something that attracts masses and masses of casual players. But I couldn't really give a monkey's about it.
Exactly. For me personally, it's like, I don't really give a shit. But I guess the concern for the general consumer, including us, is if all the companies start getting bought up by the corporations, then there's going to be less competition and less getting everywhere. More like gatekeeping in certain ways. So like I can understand it from that perspective. But, like, generally speaking, like, do I care if Activision, Blizzard King were part of Microsoft for, like, ooh, I wouldn't get COD on PlayStation? Like, no, I couldn't give a shit. I got both a PlayStation and an Xbox.
Yeah.
So I would get it in that respect. But also, I don't play COD, so I don't care. And there's not really much in the Activision lineup that I can see that I would care about, unless they've got loads of dead IP that might get brought back. But then looking at, like, they've like Microsoft have got Ray, they haven't brought anything back from Ray's back catalog. The biggest game at the moment is Sea of Thieves, and that was a new game. It wasn't like an old franchise that have come back.
I think a lot of the things where they've brought Rare franchises back, they've not let Rare do them. They brought Battletoads back, and I think that's by somebody else. Same with Perfect Dark. I think Killer Instinct, when that came back, it was someone else.
Yeah.
So, but Rare's one of them companies where a lot of people left, and it's not really been Rare for a very, very long time, other than in name.
Yeah.
Technically, yeah. I'd invest this money in somebody like Sega or Konami. Because they've both got piles of IP that people have got masses of love for, but very little's been done with.
No, I agree with that, but the problem with Konami is I don't know if, like, they'd be able, like, if they'd be a company that would be bought, because, like, their main thing is like pachinko machines and all that kind of guff, isn't it? Like, maybe they would sell all the gaming IP themselves, but
well, that's the thing, isn't it? They want the gaming IP to make pachinko machines out of, but they've got very little interest in making games out of it. So surely there's some deal you could come to where you could buy the rights to the IP for games and leave them to still make pachinko machines out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not entirely buying them out, but it's like getting a contract with them as such.
Yeah. Buy all the gaming rights, but you get the rights to the games for pachinko machines. There you go.
Yeah, basically that, yeah.
I don't know. And Sega have got a love of old franchises, but Sega do still also do some good games and shit, so I just don't know what's going to happen with it now, but, like, at the same time, like, I guess everyone's waiting to see what happens, because that's a lot of money they were planning on spending.
Yeah,
they would have bought up Activision Blizzard King, but now if they split up their money between other companies, it's going to be, they're going to have a maybe own, like, Sega, own another company and a few other companies, you know? And it's like, that's even more games then going to one ecosystem, which would be worse for the wider gaming market.
That's the thing, isn't it? It could be better for Microsoft players. That money could be spent in a better way, but they could actually cause more harm with it. So stopping them from going down this route of this plan isn't necessarily saving everybody from them. Like, some Sony fans didn't want this to go through because they don't want to lose certain things, but it could have the other effect. They could buy more smaller companies and you could actually lose more in the long run.
Yeah, something I'll keep my eye on, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, is much going to change? You know, what is going to change from this? Fuck knows.
I think my biggest thing with it is that it has brought out some really sort of crappy thoughts and behaviour from people, because you've got Sony fans wanting to rub it in Microsoft fans' face that it fell through. You had Microsoft fans that were lording it over Sony fans that, you know, one day Call of Duty might be exclusive. And it's just brought out some of the worst of the sort of console war mentality.
I don't get it.
I am more Microsoft than Sony, but it's not out of any loyalty. It's out of preferring the controllers and, you know, you've only got so much room and so much money. So I've got a PS3 and a PS4, but I don't have a PS5 because I don't really have a place to put it, and I don't want to have two, you know, nearly £500 machines.
Yeah, it's totally understandable.
you know, it's one of them things where I think you pick whatever's best for you, and there's no point waving it in anyone else's face, because if an Xbox is right for me, it doesn't mean a PS5's not right for the next person, and you get whatever's right for you and enjoy it, and sort of don't be a dick to somebody for having a different opinion.
Exactly. Unfortunately, people are assholes.
Well, yeah.
People are assholes. That's the top and bottom of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a shame, though, because at the end of the day, I just don't get people. It's like, it's a big corporation. They don't care about you as a person.
No.
They just care about what's in your wallet. That's going into their accounts.
Yeah, the amount of people defend some of them. I mean, probably the worst one is Nintendo. Some Nintendo fanboys are so diehard.
Yeah.
They like really believe that the company cares about them on some deep level. And no, not at all. It's a money-making business. And yeah. I love Mario, I love Zelda, I love all the games. But it's a company.
Yeah. Couldn't disagree with you with it. I can see with like Iwata and stuff that like people could see a bit more there, where you have like the president of the company going, do you know what, like our console isn't doing great, I'll take a pay cut and up my own salary. You know, that's actually pretty good, because you're on your other fuck things doing it. They just sack a lot of people and fucking give themselves more.
Oh yeah, I mean, hats off to him. That was a really sort of ballsy move, and you know, not many people would make it.
Yeah, so I you can kind of see where people are coming from with certain things like that, but that's doesn't necessarily mean that they care so much about like the people themselves. It could be that they care about keeping the company afloat or wherever else. You never really know, but when it comes to things like that. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is they need to be making a profit, and the everything that goes into that is trying to get your money. It's you know, whatever the company is, to a point of a business. And that's not to say that every person working for that company will have those same thoughts and feelings.
No, you're just part of a big machine, aren't you? And that's the general consensus of the machine. Somebody that works for them can be a lot more sort of genuine.
Exactly. But when it comes to this Activision thing, I think it'll end up falling flat on his ass now. Because of the CMA's decision, who knows what will happen, but I think maybe Microsoft will not bother, because at the end of the day, if they appeal it and go through all the other stuff, it's going to take a few more years.
And it'll cost more money to sort of fund appeals. And
yeah. So there you go. But are you happy that it fell through, or you unhappy that it fell through, or are you more like me, where it's personally I don't care for myself, but I can see why it could have had a negative effect on the wider gaming market if it did go through?
On the one hand, it probably would have been nice for me if it had gone through, being an Xbox Series X owner, with you getting more stuff on Game Pass and more, you know, games early on there, things like. But on the other side, there's not that much I'm that excited about. Like, if I got COD a bit early or something, well, I only tend to pick COD up when it's £10 or less to blow through the one-player mode. Mm-hmm. So getting COD early, and it's not for me.
No.
And I do think, as much as I kind of like Xboxes, Microsoft have got to learn to stand on their own 2 feet and start investing money in making games from the ground up, instead of trying to like buy people out.
Yeah, that would be nice. That they actually, you know, fund developers, little studios of their own, and instead of just going, we'll buy this company that has already got a reputation for IPs that we can use.
I mean, you think of all the ways you could use that money on buying up like new hot prospect studios that are struggling financially and giving them the foot up to make something of themselves, and you could get so many of them off the ground with that cash.
Yeah.
Instead of buying one super big company that's already made it on their own, so to speak.
Exactly. They could give me 70 billion and I'll make them a game. The game would probably never come out, but I wouldn't mind 70 million, billion dollars.
That's plenty of games that have had a good long 10 years before coming out, or look how long like Duke Nukem Forever treaded water.
Yeah. There's
probably about 6 versions of that before it made it out of the door.
Yeah. I don't think it, not much of the game that was originally in it came out, did it? I think it was pretty much restarted over and over and over again.
Yeah, there was definitely whole, almost complete versions scrapped for them to hit the drawing blocks again.
Yeah. Ah, well. Would you like to say anything more on this topic of news, or would you like to move on to the next section?
There's another news story that I'd briefly touch on.
Okay.
I've not played the game, but Jedi Survivor. It's one of them games that's $70 odd, and apparently has come out in a complete appalling mess of a state. And we're just at that point where games are starting to increase in price. They're asking for more for them. Sort of £40 is not the set norm anymore. It's creeping up. And yet the standards that games are coming out on are dropping.
That does indeed seem to be, because I did see something on Twitter earlier saying about like, games coming out on console tend to come out better than on PC in working condition, not generally like better on console, PC, not getting to that. I'm saying about like better in the how well they work. I didn't know if it may have been something to do with this Star Wars thing. I don't know, but someone was saying like, but the difference is with getting a game to work on console, it's one set of everything for every one of those consoles, whereas PC you could have like 900 different bloody components, like different ways of having your setup done, so a lot more has to go into it to get it working better on PC. But I don't know. To me that means that if there's so much money going into the game, then maybe they need to like have more people working on the PC side of things, or something needs to be done there. I'm not saying people are lazy or anything like that, because I did see that mentioned. Like, it's not about being lazy, it's just there's a lot more there. They need to figure out a way of obviously I have no clue when it comes to game development or anything. I saw like this is from the outside of an idiot's opinion, basically, is companies may need to rejig the way they are set up to work on games, so that more focus is put on the PC version instead, or maybe employ some more people to do extra work on that, something like that. But you know, I get what you're saying. A lot of games are going up in price, and half the time it's half done, patched for years on end. And then they decide to hold stuff back. I personally think stuff is held back for DLC because before the game comes out, they've already planned DLC. So clearly, if it was already planned, then they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, most of the games tend to have like this roadmap of, there'll be like a piece of DLC that launches alongside the game, which to me is the worst piece, because that should be in the game if it's ready at the same time. And then there's the 6-month piece and the year piece, and it is just all how can we nickel and dime money out of people. The worst for me is when they try and combine the battle pass skin type elements of a game like Fortnite with a game that's already full price retail.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like pick a lane. Do you want to be free to play Battle Pass, or do you want to be a full price retail game? Trying to have them both, which the first example I think of is that Squaresoft Chocobo Racing.
Yeah.
Which was actually, that was a decent game. I didn't mind it at all. It's like, to me, a 7 out of 10 sort of game. but it was ruined by the greed of charging $39.99 for it and then going pay coins, pay money for these battle passes. And they realised they'd done it wrong because they started giving you free coins and, you know. But once you're backpedaling, you've lost. They've ruined their sort of reputation of that game.
Have they killed the game now? And it'd only been out for like 9 months when they're like, yeah, this game's dead in the water now and there's nothing being done.
Yeah, it had something like 5 seasons and then they just went, there's not going to be another season. You'll be able to go online and play sort of competitive, but there won't be a battle pass. So it's kind of like half the game it was now. But, you know, I think most places now, if you look about, you can get it for £15, for which what is there is a fair price. It probably should have just come out for like £35 and not bothered with any of the online battle passy stuff in the first place, because it does feel a little budgety.
Yeah, I never played it, but it sounds like just sounds like another way to get extra cash out of people by, you know, preying on people's formal or love of a franchise, you know? So it's a nasty, nasty practice. Yeah. But when it comes to what you were saying about Star Wars, I know little of it. I didn't even know it was out yet. But to hear that a game that have come out again at a higher price point and being a shit condition, it's not shocking, is it? You should be like, damn, that's that's Ray, but it's coming to the point now where it's going, oh yeah, well, it's nothing new, and it's getting to the point where it's happening so often that and nothing is really being done about it, that companies are just going to keep doing it because they keep getting away with doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, if you're getting the money, you're going to do it.
Yep,
that's the simple way to put it. And there's been Assassin's Creed games released where people's faces drop off and people paid for them and with minimal moaning, really.
Yeah, Unity, that was one, I think.
Yeah,
I think I picked that up, but I picked that up cheap like a while afterwards where a lot of the glitches were sorted.
Oh, there was one point when that was on CD keys for something like 49p. And so many people were jumping on it. And like you said, by the time it was that cheap, it was largely repaired.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, though, is, like, obviously, it will mileage varies on this. Like, but a game where you have some visual glitches like that is not too bad, because the performance, I think, was okay. It was just you have some visual issues.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. But when you have a game that is running badly, you have game-breaking bugs and things like that, then it's a much bigger issue in my eyes than, like, a face missing is fucking weird and a bit freaky. But, like, getting, I don't know, stuck in the floor, which happened to me in Unity, I got stuck in the ceiling, I had to restart stuff. Okay. You know, that is more of an issue. I remember in one mission, I actually posted tweeted the video out. It was one of the very first things I tweeted from my Xbox One, was in Unity. I had to do a mission where I was listening to some people talking, and I jumped into a outhouse, and I was listening to the conversation, and all of a sudden I just fell through the floor into the ether. It's like, what the hell's going on here? Silly games.
I mean, some of it, I suppose, is a side effect of how complicated games are now. When things are as big as stuff like Oblivion and all that, you know, Skyrim open world things, you're going to have more mess ups because you can't play test every single possibility of what if this person has this item, runs there, and this enemy goes there. You know, there's too many calculations.
Something it doesn't help when you have companies working their asses off with major crunch doing stupid hours because the shareholders are like, yeah, get this game out as quick as possible, instead of being like, no, obviously more time needs to be put into it. It's just crazy, really. like, obviously more time and money needs to put into certain things, but obviously that can't happen because people have deadlines, and I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that is how it is at the minute.
Yeah. And I mean, it's weird because there's some fans of some games that when a game gets put back a month or 2 months, or complain and go crazy, and it's like, well, it's being put back for your benefit, really.
My issue is, and this is what I say every time a game is delayed, is that's fine if they sort in the game, but if it comes out and it's still broken, what was the point?
Well, yeah, that's true.
But then the opposing point would be, could you imagine how broken it would have been if it came out there a couple of months earlier? And then it's like, well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Shall we move on to the We Play Together game?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so we will move on to We Play Together. The game for this episode is Coffee Talk. You have played through it twice, I believe. Whereas yeah. I haven't finished the game, which is a shame. I feel bad because I've been like, yeah, I'll get it played. I was like, I'll get it played today, and then something came up, and then I was like, I'll get it played tomorrow, yesterday now. And I was like, I'll get it played today. And it's like, one of the kids like, no, we're going to watch Godzilla and Destroy All Monsters, King of the Monsters, and Scott Kong Skyline. So we watched all them, so I didn't get a chance. I thought I'd play when everyone goes to bed, and by the time everyone went to bed, it was 12:15, and I was like, I haven't got time. And then today I was going to do the same, and I managed to play for a bit, and then like I only managed to put in like an hour or so I didn't get really far into it, but I was enjoying it. So what I think I'm going to do is because I know it's a short game and it's pretty chill, I might jump on it after we finish here, because why not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I'd say about it. It is what I suppose people nowadays are using the phrase a cozy game.
Yeah.
You don't really need all of your brain if you're a bit tired, you've finished work, or you can put it on and take it at your own speed. I mean, I suppose the easiest way to explain what it is, it's sort of a visual novel, really, isn't it?
Yes. Did you make coffee in?
Yeah. I was going to say that you go through people talking and them telling you their life problems, and then you make coffee, and the making coffee is sort of the gamey bit.
Yeah, and it's not exactly complex. You just pick one of up to three ingredients, and that's it from what I've seen so far, very early on.
But it's weird because, like in other visual novel-esque games where people will ask you questions and whether you answer in a nice way, horrible way, or indifferent way changes their relationship to you, what happens with characters is actually affected by the coffees you serve them.
Ah, right. Damn.
If you get their order right, that like takes the story down one path. And if you get their order wrong, it takes it down another path. So it is a game that's actually quite replayable, because even if you've got it right, you might want to cock it up on purpose to see what happens different.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
No, it doesn't really seem to like kind of tell you. That's more something you realise if you've played it more than once. Particularly if there's something you've got wrong the first time that you've corrected the second time.
That's cool. I like the sound of that.
I'm not sure how much of this you'll have really seen, but to me, it's a bit of a weird comparison here, but the game made me think of, like, the original Star Trek series, in the fact that when you watched the old Star Trek, you got aliens whose half the face was black, half was white, and they were arguing with other aliens who had the reverse face. But really, it was all about racism and sexism, and, you know what I mean? You used aliens as a way to tell stories that had a deeper meaning,
yeah,
but where other people could watch it and shallowly just think it was sci-fi. if they didn't really want to engage with it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what this game does with, like, you having vampire customer, a werewolf customer, an elf, a succubus.
Yeah.
You know, really, if you strip the sci-fi out of it, well, fantasy in this case, it could be a white guy, black guy, white woman. You know what I mean? It's
exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah, well, when it started, I didn't know anything about the... I just assumed it was a game where you're in a coffee shop doing stuff. I didn't realize that it was all, like, fantasy monsters and stuff in there. So when, like, this intro starts, it's like, the race wars are over. I was like, what the fuck? The great race wars. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I noticed, like, one of the characters is, like, a demon or something in the background. I was like, ah, right. Like, elves and stuff. I was like, what the fuck is Viper on? I was like, should I be playing this game? But yeah, then I was like, all right, yeah, I get it. It's about, but it is like an analogy of real life. I don't know if that's the right term, but of real life racial I can't think of the right word, but like dealing with racial issues and that kind of thing from the seams of what I've played so far. Like, I've not done a lot. Like, the part I'm currently on where I had to stop because I had to go make gravy and stuff. When I was on earlier, it was in the middle of a conversation with like a police officer, a cat person, and two other people. Well, one other person, because the other person who was there was like an orc or something, and they just left. Randomly, they're like, oh, thanks for the coffee, and left. So, and they're talking about like pretty mundane things, really. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, I keep arguing with my father. It's like, you know, it's quite a mundane thing for a game, but you know, I think it's trying to get across it's trying to get across something relatable. And it seems to be doing it pretty well so far, like, but you know, that's just my opinion.
And I think it's one of those where, as you see all the characters in it, there's probably going to be one that most people will relate to based on who they are.
Yeah.
There's a, like we were on about earlier with games and crunch, there's quite a few things that are about crunch in it, because there's the girl who comes in at first who's a writer.
Yeah.
And she's like up all night drinking coffee because she's trying to write a novel while simultaneously doing a job.
Yeah. Then for the same company.
Yeah, for the same company. Then there's an orc girl who works for a video game publisher, and it talks about crunch and basically life work balance.
Yeah.
So it, I think, you know, if you sort of know what you're looking at, there's a lot of stuff in there that is quite deep that clearly they're getting opinions through and making you stop and think about by using fantasy characters and almost hiding it.
Yeah, I get you. But speaking of crunch, because obviously this is not, you know, that was for earlier, but like one of the games I heard about with which had a bit of like issues with the game being made and like the people behind the scenes was Sports Story. The game came out, was meant to be wonky, not very good in comparison to Golf Story, but people were supposed to have found like a little room that's hidden, and you have to, like, I don't know, hack the game or something to get to it, where there's like developer stuff, like the people working on the game are represented by the characters in the game, and they're saying like really nasty shit about the what went on behind the scenes.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I should check it out for definite, like, but yeah, I should have mentioned that just now, but it just now popped into my head.
I'll have to look that up, because, I mean, you used to get stuff in old Spectrum games where there were lines of code hidden, and it was basically an artist telling the publisher they could suck their dick or whatever, that, you know, you're an arsehole. And you kind of think that people think that's like gone away now. Things are more big companies and double checked and stuff.
Sometimes so things slip through.
To hear about it in a modern setting.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes things slip through the cracks. You know. There you go. But yeah, coffee talk. I'm enjoying. Like, I think this is episode one, and there's an episode two. Which yeah. I'll have a look at once I finish episode one, and once I get around to it, maybe we can do a podcast to talk about the second one and compare maybe the first and the second episodes.
That'd be great.
How have you found the game then? Because you've played through more than once. Like, have you noticed much difference in the first and second playthrough with people's stories being a little different? Well, not so much but their interactions.
Even though I played it the first time when it first came onto Game Pass, which is about 2 years ago, and then I've just played it now, I think I got more stuff right this time through vague recollection.
All right.
I think I remembered some drinks to a degree, and I remembered how I'd got things wrong.
Yeah.
And there's been like more positive outcomes to people's stories.
Oh, that's cool. Like, I made a drink for someone, and they were like, oh, I want a coffee with ginger in it or something, and I gave them coffee, ginger, and coffee, so that there were those three ingredients, like, yeah, that's not right, for what they wanted. And then he's speaking later on, saying that he thinking maybe the tea would be better, because coffee may have too much caffeine in it. But the person they were with asked for the same, but instead I give them coffee, honey, and like another ingredient, and they add a drink of it, and like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not exactly what you gave them, and it gave me an achievement then, saying, you know, you give out the wrong order, and I was like, yeah.
I did find it a bit weird that the order you put stuff in can make a completely different drink. So if you do like coffee, lemon, and cinnamon,
yeah,
it can be one drink, and then coffee, cinnamon, and lemon can be another drink, sort of thing.
Yeah,
you kind of think, well, that's a bit weird, but I suppose it's because they've sort of simplified the way you make the drinks a bit.
Yeah,
obviously in real life it'd be different amounts of stuff, and
yeah. Maybe they're thinking the lemon would be in the drink, whereas at the end, the cinnamon would be sprinkled over the top, or...
Yeah, probably something on those lines.
Fuck knows. But yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it. It seems pretty interesting. Obviously, I haven't gone through the game. For all I know, it could be like the original Clerks, and my character gets shot at the end. I'm not really sure. the alternate ending version or whatever it was, the proper version that they changed the ending in the original Clerks. Dante, I think, got shot and died, which obviously wouldn't have made a Clerks 2 and 3.
Nah. But I can say from what I've played of the second one, if you've played the first one and you're wondering about playing the second one, if you enjoyed the first, you'll enjoy the second. It's very similar, you know, a clear continuation.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah, I'll definitely check out the second after I finish the first, which I will indeed do. Normally I would ask, are you going to continue playing if you haven't finished? Or if you would replay it, which you've done that too, so I can't really ask those questions. But would you recommend other people play it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, on Game Pass, it's great because it's free. And I also found you don't need much of a PC to run it.
Oh, nice.
I think even a single core, like high gig Pentium 4 will run it. So if you've got anything dual core, anything like in the last sort of probably 10 years, you can run it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's about £15, I think, if you buy it or something around that.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
And I do think probably on a Switch it'd be quite nice. I mean, I've been playing it on Xbox and laptop because of the fact of it being free. But I do imagine, you know, handheld on a train or probably quite a chill game to play.
Yeah. Good for the commute, like.
Yeah.
And you can save Dairy Point from the looks of it.
Yeah. Which is good for a game that, you know, you might want to pick up and put down and stuff. It can be a ball ache when some games you have to get to, like, the end of the whole day or the whole mission or...
Yeah. Or find a save point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Metroid. I love Metroid. But yeah, is there anything else you would like to say about Coffee Talk before we end the podcast?
Yeah, probably. I think I've probably touched on most of it. But I'd say if you've got friends who you're trying to get into gaming, or you think they've got an unusual gaming taste, or with it being a little bit different and slow and being able to not really be rushed, it's probably quite good for people like that.
Nice. Right, that is going to be the end of the podcast. I will say that I will continue with Coffee Talk and look at Coffee Talk 2. But before we end, would you like to plug anything, like your YouTube channel or anything like that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm on both YouTube and TikTok as Kerr9000. And I'm on Twitter as Kerr9000blog. I make lots of horror reviews, lots of game reviews. That's about it. You know, if you've enjoyed this and you've enjoyed the sound of my voice, you'll probably enjoy those. And thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, dude. It's always a pleasure. And hopefully we will get to Coffee Talk episode 2 soonish, because it would be nice to get back to discuss it. But that's going to be us saying goodbye. I would like to thank everyone for listening, and see you soon. And again, thank you for taking part, dude.
Yep, thank you very much, and thanks everyone for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.